This is our first podcast in a while. We're all together, and now we're on Skype. And so we'll get right to it. We'll get right to the news. And I'll start off with the Big Apple announcement that happened yesterday, and that was the iPod Nano. If you haven't heard about it, Apple got rid of the whole iPod Mini line, and now they replaced it with the iPod Nano, which is thinner than a pencil and kind of looks like an iPod Shuffle, but a little bigger. And you can find more information on the website. And Dale actually just bought his iPod Nano.
Cool.
Yeah, I just couldn't wait. I saw it, and then I watched the keynote, and I was glad that I ordered it. I just want to get it as soon as possible, and I'm actually going to go down to the Apple Store and see it with Jeff a little later.
Yeah, I already have an iPod Photo 40 gig, which I bought last November because I thought it was super cool. But if I didn't have it, I really, really want the Nano. It's really cool, but you know, I'm gonna hold back and not buy it. But I'd love to. It's really, really cool.
Yeah, if you haven't seen some of the features, it's got full features of iPod, including like games, calendars, and it's got some other ones like it's got a stopwatch and world clocks and a ton of stuff.
Yeah, those other features they did an iPod update last night, but that was only for the iPod Nano. None of those new features are put in the new iPods. I would hope that they would put them in, but they probably will put them in down the road, like maybe in 6 months or a year. But right now, it's only the Nano, which I think is pretty cool. And Dale the Runner can use it.
Yeah, that is pretty cool.
Ha.
All right,
I thought it was interesting how in the keynote, he actually had it right in that little pocket in his pants that no one uses for anything at all.
Yeah, well, they call him the condom pocket, but we can call him the nano pocket now. But yeah, the keynote was pretty good, normal Steve Jobs fashion. He talked about how the iPod was doing in the market. They have, you know, like almost 75% and 71% or something around there of the market share of all iPods, all MP3 players. And he talked about the iTunes music store, and he was a little, I'd say it was a little overkill, but he was, the iTunes music store is, now has 2 million songs, that's up from 200,000 songs that they had in April 2003, and, but Steve Jobs, kind of, you know, overkilling it, saying that he thinks that it's the second largest online retailer in the world, second to Amazon. I think it's like, that's pretty, you know.
I think that's a little different, though. Selling a little song for like 99 cents is a little different than a real retailer.
Yeah, that's pretty like same thing.
Well, yeah, but
the same.
Go ahead.
The same thing they do with that, like Jobs and Apple always does. It's the same thing they do with when they update Tiger. They'll say there's like 300 new features, but one of the features will be like, you know, the file, like there'll be like a really small bug fix or something, or like some really minuscule thing, and they'll say that's a new feature. Just for marketing, and so, but.
Well, yeah, to catch people's eye. They were also saying in the keynote that they have sold almost a half a billion songs, I think.
Over a half billion.
Yeah, they just
over.
They passed the 500 million mark.
Yeah, the winner who got the 500 million got a couple iPods and a ton of free downloads.
You got five iPod Minis. I don't know.
iPods.
Five.
Okay,
iPod Minis.
Quite a few. I think it was 20 was the total number.
No, I think it was 5 or 10. But what can you do with?
What do you need five iPods for?
I believe that you give it away. Okay. I believe you give it away. Well, unless you have
or sell it
one for each room in your house. Well, I think when they did
or for family or friends or something.
And he got like a 10,000 or something songs, free songs off iTunes. But when they reached 100 million mark, that was last July, 2004. The person got a PowerBook and a whole bunch of other stuff. I don't know if he got a PowerBook this time. I have to check, but I don't know. I'm not sure they get a PowerBook.
A lot of the things in the keynote made a lot of good sense, though, because just with the iPod Nano itself. Think about it, like there were rumors that it was going to be the iPod Mini was going to get more and more capacity, but that's just like bridging the gap between the iPod and the iPod Mini. This really defines that there is a separate iPod Mini, iPod Nano, the smaller version of the iPod.
As the thing I love about Apple is, as much as I try to, you know, think secret and read, you know, Apple Insider and MacRumors.com, you always say, oh, you know, everyone just loves the products, and they just try to guess what's going to come out next. But the best thing with, you know, just Steve Jobs' fashion and his showmanship, you know, they're very tight-lipped, and he just got it. You know, I was expecting, you know, they're just moving the minis to flash-based, and then they're gonna release the phone. But you know, in true Steve Jobs fashion, I was blown away. It's an amazing product, I think.
Yeah, and people were thinking they were also going to make the shuffle in 2 and 4 gig capacities, which actually turned out to be the Nano.
Yeah, it used to be the Nano. And like, really surprising, like, normally, about last year all the time, they'd always get the things right, like things secret in them. But recently, I don't know, maybe lawsuits have helped it, but there hasn't been many leaks. And I didn't read about the Nano till the night before. It was on, I believe, KevinRose.com. He got an inside tip. But
yeah, then even at that, there were like, before it was on any blogs, it was just references to that, like 2 hours right before it was going to happen. But that was pretty close. There really wasn't too much notification at all.
Yeah, I thought it's a really good product.
And you never know what's going to happen.
On the same note, we have iTunes 5 was released, and that just has a new interface and a new search bar under it. That's kind of like a Spotlight for. In iTunes, and Spotlight's what's in Mac OS X Tiger. But besides that, there wasn't many. There's a few upgrades, but I like the new interface.
Yeah, it looks nice and clean. It's good.
It's like they're trying to make it like the new Mail if you have a Mac, which Corey doesn't. But
I haven't tried the new iTunes because just haven't really been into the buying music, but I think, was it last weekend that Napster had their free weekend or something like that?
Yeah, I heard
like
about
a million free.
The reason I use iTunes, I used it before. I use it just for, because I love how it just organizes them. When I ask people to use iTunes, they say no, I don't have an iPod. You know, even if I didn't have an iPod, I'd still use it because it's a really good. Organizing.
It's a really good way to manage music.
Yeah, I really like it. Before, when I started with like MP3s in 98, 99, I used Winamp, and they have a big long playlist. Then I used like Windows Media Player for a long time, and then I used to play out of Napster. But you know, now with this, it's just so much better because I have 3,000 songs. So,
but even just burning CDs is so simple. It's just create a playlist, drag, drop, burn.
And
that's
searching is simple. It's fast. That's what.
Well, let me ask you this: Can you use it? Can you use it to store music that you haven't purchased through iTunes?
Yeah, like,
you can. You've already got collections of MP3s.
I have 3,000.
Okay, well then I'll have to try it.
I have 3,000 songs. Do you think I spent $3,000 on music?
That would be a pretty useless application if that's all you could do with it.
Well, the iTunes has been around since iTunes has been around since 2001, 2002, and the music store didn't come out until 2003. So it's always been around. They bought the software from another company. That company actually went out of business because of it. But I forget what it's called. But you can find it if you're in the iPod, the legal section, you can see the company name that they bought it from. Because the company used to have it. It was good. I think it was cross platform. But after a while, I'm checking it right now quickly. Here, I can find it in the legal section. My iPod. Here, legal. Like if you go to your iPod. Portaplayer was the people who used. They bought the software from that would manage the music software and stuff. And they bought it and they licensed it. But then, you know, they did some shoddy things and they ended up. The company went out of business. But it's a useless.
Okay, we'll have to try it out and I'll get back to you.
It's really
about
good.
It. See how I like it. Okay, yeah.
All right, Corey, do you have a story?
So. Yeah, eBay may buy Skype from anywhere from $2 billion to $3 billion.
Which we will make the note of that we are using right now.
Yes. It comes from Macworld. In a move that could make a big strategy shift for the online auction company, eBay Incorporated is in talks to acquire internet telephony company Skype Technologies for between U.S. $2 billion or $3 billion. This comes from the Wall Street Journal, which is posted on Macworld, so that's what it says in the article. So I really wouldn't think that eBay would be interested in an internet telephony company. Just doesn't seem something that eBay would be after. It's just a short article. doesn't really go into the detail.
5 billion.
So,
well, 5 billion. It's try to seeing the worth of the whole thing. You know, Skype. I don't.
Yeah, between $2 and $3 billion.
And yeah, that's a lot of money. It kind of reminds me of when Yahoo bought Broadcast.com. Broadcast.com is which Mark Cuban, the owner, now the owner of the Dallas Mavericks. He started Broadcast.com, and that would just for so he could listen to his home teams, and then it became big, and then started doing video. Then Yahoo bought him during the .com boom for $5.7 billion, which is, I think, pretty too much, a lot more money than it's probably worth, I think. I don't know why what eBay would do with Skype.
Yeah, because even if you tried to use that for some type of auction management or, like, so people could talk to each other, really would just make things more awkward.
Yeah, that's what they probably are going for.
But there could be some type of hidden agenda. I mean, things randomly come out with, like, some of the stuff Google's been doing, Apple's been doing, a bunch of companies.
It's just,
who knows?
I could see Google buying it, but now
that would make sense. That would make good sense.
They have Google Talk now. But
well, yeah, Google Talk.
Yeah. Google always would buy
we actually need to try doing an episode with Google Talk.
Well,
go ahead.
The one problem is it doesn't work for Mac. The audio doesn't work for Mac.
Oh, okay, well.
That's out. At Mac or Linux.
Isn't there plans for it to become cross-platformed?
I think they said.
In a
Google's
or, newer version?
Yeah, probably.
Because they're still in a beta.
I think I said that, but Google's good with you know, cross platforms. I think they're a really good company.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Here. All right. For the next thing, I have a really cool site. It's called, if you have a Mac, freemacware.com. That's freemacware.com. And they have probably around 50 really cool, good freeware applications for Macintosh. And the list is really cool. And I go to it all the time. People always ask me, like, what good free programs are there for the Mac if they're a Mac user. And, you know, I always have some good ones. But this site has, like, all the really great ones. And if you have a Mac, I really suggest you try it out, freemacware.com. And and going along with that, one of the programs that they have on there is called Mozo Doho. I'm just guessing the name of that. And that's it. I sent the thing to Dale. It's only a Mac program right now, and the thing it does, it makes mosaic images of one. It makes one big image. Like, you remember in the few. Hold on, I gotta be right back. Hold on.
All right. Well, anyway, I was using it a while ago. I was having quite a blast with it. I took a picture of my dog. And I took all my pictures in my library and put them in, made the mosaic look just like it. It's perfect. All
right, sorry.
And I was actually doing a picture of my sister at graduation, made a little mosaic of her. I've been having a ton of fun with it.
Hmm.
It's a little annoying to select pictures from your library, but that's about it.
All right, sorry, I was getting summoned by someone. I told them not to bother me, but sorry. But there, you picked up where I left off.
Yeah, I just told about my experience with it. It's been working pretty well, except when you go to tell it to not use a picture more than 3 times, I've had it crash on me.
Oh, I haven't come across that, but I think it's the best part is the key thing is you got to have a really big image library.
To make it makes the picture look a lot better, and then you don't get repeats either.
And it comes out really cool, but it uses your processor so pretty well. Heavy, because we'll do a lot of calculations.
Another thing, try not to use a picture that has the exact same color in it all the time, because that'll just use bland pictures. I mean, if you use tons of different colors, it'll make a really nice-looking image.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Well, it seems pretty cool for the Mac users out there, but...
And you can find... There's probably a Windows thing. But you can find it...
Oh, yeah, there's definitely...
Find it on freemacware.com, and there'll be a link in the show notes.
Okay, well, actually, I want to go on about something. We were talking about Skype earlier. I was reading just a headline of open source version of Skype or open source alternative to Skype. Softphone NG, stands for Softphone Next Generation, currently under development. It really doesn't say much about it at the website. I'll put the website in the show notes. But supposedly it's supposed to be an open source alternative. I was actually going to try it, but I got caught up in something. If you look at the screenshots, it looks a lot like Skype with the tabs. And there actually looks like there's a video function, a webcam function built into it, if you look at the screenshots. So it is on Mac, because there's a picture here with it in Mac, on a Mac OS, and in Linux. So I'll have to try that out and get back to y'all about that. So actually, since that's not very discussable, this is from Wikipedia, floaters. You know, like when you rub your eyes and you see little dots and stuff floating around in your view? Well, Wikipedia did an article about it, and it sort of explains in depth about what it is, and you're not just seeing stuff, and what causes it, and et cetera. That'll be in the show notes, and there's actually a picture of an artist's impression of some floaters. So, you have to check that out.
I thought floaters are things you find... I thought... correct me if I'm wrong, but I thought floaters were things that you found in toilets, in public restrooms.
I thought you were going to talk about those little things you used to swim when you were little, but maybe there's some wonderful technology things that came along in that.
Those are floaties.
Floaties, I'm sorry. Floaties. But on that same note that Corey had, I was actually reading a book, Mind Hacks by O'Reilly, and they had an interesting thing. You know how when you like look at a clock and it seems like it stays at a second for a long time when you just look at it? Like for that first second? That's actually because when you switch directions in your eyes, it actually closes your perception, so you don't see that blur when you move from spot to spot. So what it does is it tries to estimate in your mind what it's been seeing for that time when you were moving your eyes. So since it thinks the clock was like that beforehand, it puts into your mind that it was like that beforehand. So it adds like an extra couple milliseconds or so.
Wow, very cool.
Yeah, I just thought that was kind of cool.
Looks around room and sees no blur. Yeah.
But that's a
so
great
that's pretty
book.
Cool, actually.
Mind Hacks is very interesting. You might want to pick it up.
There's another good book that's like that. It's an
I like O'Reilly books.
But
go ahead.
There's a book that's like that. I really like, but I liked it when I was little, and but it's been out for a while, probably like 15 years, or maybe longer. It's Why Do Clocks Run Backwards? That's a really good book. It answers questions about simple everyday things, like why you can't rip off like the tag on your mattress, like that stuff. It's a really interesting book about things you wouldn't realize. It you probably can still find it. I got it like 10, 15 years, probably like 15 years, a while ago. But it's a really good book, and that's all I have to say about that. But moving on, we missed since we haven't had a podcast in a long time altogether. Corey luckily did some by himself when I was gone, and unfortunately, other
my lonely self.
Yeah, no. But Intel had their big announcement at the end of August, and Dale wanted to shed some light on that.
Yeah, I was just going to say there's a bunch of chips coming out. We've got there's two mobile chips which are supposed to come out, the Yona, which is going to be followed by the Merom. And hopefully one of those two will make it into the new PowerBook. And maybe it'd be nice if Apple just released that a little sooner than it said it would have originally, because it tends to surprise people. It's just the way the company works, but who knows? But we could see something pretty amazing.
Wasn't that all their the new chips that they the new chips that are coming out, they I watched the keynote, that they're all dual core,
yeah,
and 64-bit, and they all have but the new the big thing this with this year with
it's
the
power
Intel
consumption
chips, power consumption, that's what Steve Jobs talked about
the
in June.
Yeah, actually the Merom, which is supposed to be after the Yona, which is the first one to come out, is actually only supposed to use 5 watts of power.
That's pretty good.
which is great compared to, like, you think an Athlon or a P4 uses something like 80 or 90.
And look at the light bulb.
Yeah, light bulb was 100. It's pretty good.
But one thing they were saying, I was just thinking in my head that one of the things they were saying was that this is one of the things they said in the keynote I thought was pretty stupid. They were saying that that this will help save energy bills and save this stuff with your computer. If you put these processors in your computer, this 10 watts that we're saving, it's gonna save you like thousands of dollars over time. But
power supplies draw on the same amount, no matter what.
That's what I was thinking. I was saying, if you have a 400 watt power supply, it's still gonna take 400 watts.
Yeah.
I'm like, so what's
exactly?
Like, I think they were just
whether it needs it or not.
They were just BSing it and like saying.
Yeah, they were just trying to appeal to the person who has no idea what they're doing.
Yeah, like it's gonna pull the same things. So like, I thought that was real stupid. But the keynote was pretty interesting about Paul Antolini, but he doesn't have real charisma. You can always
here's actually the fact right here: the P4 is 95. In case you wanted to know.
Wow! But the
they're keeping
a really low wattage for the PDAs, the X-scale processors, I think they're whatever they're called now. They're keeping that really low too. And I'm excited, but I think they can't get past the 65 nanometer mark when they're making the processors. So they can't get much smaller as of now. So after a while you can't. Moore's law really can't last that many.
Yeah, there's a limit.
It's like 40 years old now, or 30. But you can't get so many can't get so many transistors on that small. After a while you have to start dealing with electrons, atoms and stuff like that. And when it gets too small, you're gonna have to just put two different cores. And the cores that are coming out from AMD also look pretty good. They have a whole in-depth thing on their site, article on their site, and how they do it is much better than the current ones from Intel, the dual core. So I think Intel has some really good chips, and they're using 95 nanometers for their chips, though.
Yeah, I was a little disappointed that Intel didn't go to AMD right away, but after seeing this at Intel, I'm a little happier.
You mean Apple?
Oh, sorry. Apple didn't go to AMD. Sorry.
Yeah. Well, but I think. Yeah, I don't know why they would go. I guess Intel's a bigger name. Are they?
Yeah,
Intel might have given a bigger offer because Intel can get their wholesale chips out really cheaply.
Definitely. And look at the new lineup. I mean, that could make some great performance.
Yeah, Steve Jobs. Hopefully, they address that in the next whenever hopefully they address that they're going to say hopefully Tiger. For x86 is going to be 64 bit.
That would be nice.
It should be. They're taking a step
because backwards. Otherwise they'd just be going a step backwards.
Yeah.
And who would want that?
Well,
I don't know. Maybe Corey on his Windows machine or something.
Well, while we're on the topic of processors, I think we were in our little black stage of blackout stage of not doing podcasts when AMD was suing Intel. What was that about? Was it just AMD being a crybaby or
antitrust?
What?
Antitrust. They're saying that.
Pretty much AMD being a crybaby.
But they're saying Intel has.
Yeah, that's what I said.
Intel has bad, wrongful business. Dealings, they're being a monopoly.
And so, like Microsoft, what do you think?
Yeah.
Look at Microsoft.
Which is why I found it kind of odd in the first place for Intel to pair with Apple.
Kind of off the topic, did you see what Ballmer said, Steve Ballmer, CEO of Microsoft, said about Google, can't think of his name right now, he said that he would kill Google here. I'm going to try to pull up the quote.
Oh, I remember seeing something about that. I don't exactly remember what it is, though.
Well, they're suing Google now because one of their people is losing. Here, I got it. Pull it up now. Someone from Microsoft is leaving Apple to. Microsoft leaving Microsoft to go work at Google, and they think that it's they don't want. Obviously don't want to lose their big guy. They're losing
okay, so
I can't figure it out now, but he just said that he got a really mad tirade when he heard that the guy was leaving, and he said that he would crush Google and that he's gonna effing kill Google and
yeah, I definitely remember seeing something about crushing Google.
Yeah, and he bashed a.
Can't we all just get along?
Yeah, no, right. But I guess
that would defeat our whole economic system.
There's upset that
can't do that.
There's upset that Google can actually make good products, but that's another issue.
Well, while we're talking about Microsoft, I wrote a paper for my programming class about the MCSC courses and certification. So if you want to check that out, my blog, new domain name that I finally purchased, cholt.net, and then that'll go to a page that has links to my blog and then all my different projects, as well as teentechtalk.com. Jeff finally got that up, thanks to him.
I'll
if you want to talk about that at the end of the show.
All right, but what are you talking about in the certification?
So anyway, as far as the MCSE goes, that
how it's a ripoff.
Oh yeah. Good. I thought you were.
Okay. Good. I thought you were gonna support it.
I thought you were gonna support it. And I'm like, okay, yeah.
No.
I think most certification.
It was actually a. Go ahead.
I think most certification is pretty stupid, for something. Well, depending on what you're gonna do.
But, and the cost of these courses are ridiculous. It's like a few thousand for some of these.
And you can probably just go to a job and get the experience and do it for free, and get paid for it instead of taking courses at DeVry.
Yeah, get paid.
And just you can get any experience. If you want to work with Microsoft. But,
well, yeah, but it was a pretty much just a summary that our teacher gave out that was actually in the 2600 magazine. I think it was the, winter 2000-2001 issue. Something like that, titled Microsoft's Hook and Sinker.
Your teacher reads 2600?
Yeah, I was surprised about that. Because I was looking at it.
Our teacher definitely doesn't.
It had the little banner at the top and stuff. So I was like, hey, I'm not even going to say the name, but... yeah, did you get that set up 2600? And she was like, yeah. So we started talking about it, and this past summer I went to a 2600 convention that the North Carolina 2600 put on, CarolinaCon, and that was pretty cool. I started talking to her about that. So that was actually an interesting conversation, not something I expected to have with a teacher.
Our teacher's a bad guy in one of our games, and that's about as far as it goes.
Yeah, we put her into our final project. We had her and another teacher as the enemies, and they were walking around, killing, eating. Well, they were just bad. They played the
stomping on the freshman.
Yeah, stomping on the freshman, and
who is named James, if you would like.
Well, I think
to know.
She had to get that. Okay. Well, I think she had to get that article cleared or something, because it's considered inappropriate material or what's called. Indecent material or whatever, because I had brought an issue to school and she saw it and she was like, put that up, or I'd get in trouble. So that's about as far as it went.
All right, we'll try to keep this one short so we can get to bed tonight.
So Jeff can set up his server in another location.
That's what I'm getting to. That's what I'm doing tonight. A few things before we go. One thing I'm going to be for the next. We're going to updates about the site and the podcast. We're going to try to do podcasts. We haven't talked about this, but we try to do at least one a week.
Yeah, try to do it weekly.
If you feel like it, just do your. You can do your own podcast alone, just for updates, if you feel like it. So there might be podcasts. I might do one by myself. I can't get a hold of anyone else just during midweek.
Corey, if you decide to do your own, no lawnmowers, okay?
And someone got. I was talking to someone.
Leave me alone.
I was talking to someone last night who listened to your last podcast, or the second to last one, that about the rejection hotline. He got a kick out of that one. But whatever, I'm not going to get into that. But for updates, me and Dale are both in the Mac user group here in New Jersey, but Dale can't make it. He's a track meet. But the meeting is on Saturday. But
I'm sorry, Jeff, but it's cross-country.
Cross-country, sorry. But sorry. just quickly...
Get it right, Jeff.
At the meeting... Paul Koffis of, I hope I pronounced his name right, is from Rogue Amoeba. They make Audio Hijack. He's an Airfoil and Nicecast. He's speaking at the user group on Saturday, so hopefully I'll have some information. I'll take some notes, and I'll talk about it next week. And they're giving away two free copies of Audio Hijack Pro. So hopefully, if I can get that, we can get much better audio quality for this podcast. And also on Saturday, October 22nd, I reserved seats. Dale couldn't make this either. I'm going to see David Pogue. He's a New York Times writer, and he also does Pogue Press. Like, he does all the missing manual books for like iMovie, iDVD. He does all those books that are for Macs. And he's a really funny guy. You can listen to his podcasts online or his speeches online. He's a really funny guy. And also about the site, the teamtechtalk.com is now back up. And also me and Dale and...
There's lots of and alsos, just to let you know.
All right. In continuation, we also have...
thank you.
Me and Dale have started, and some other people have started, N-Class Media. You can find... it's just a media site of all our medias, fantasign.com, which is news, Teen Tech Talk, which is the podcast, and N-Class Games, which is going to be a game site, like an online... Flash games, and also soon to be an IPV TV show that we're working on, because I got a brand new high def Sony camcorder, which I hope to get some use
you
out
suck.
Of.
You suck.
But and also about the site, as of now the server is updated. I updated to Gen 2, 64-bit, so it's compiled in 64-bit for the server, and I've seen many speed increases. It's all in terminal, so it's extremely fast, and as of right now, the server is in my house, but in a few minutes after I finish this podcast, I'm running over to my friend's house, who the site will be on a 6 megabit line, so it's gonna be a lot faster, and so the downloads, the site, and soon to be video, we download much faster, on a much faster line, and a much more expensive line, but hopefully the people will see new speed increases. And faster podcast downloads, and then the site will be running soon. And you know, just there's a lot more things that I gotta work on to get just finish some kinks out and get the look and feel of the sites going well. And hopefully, I'll put some links into Corey's sites also on the sites. I gotta get those in there.
We should try to get him on here.
Get who?
Steve.
Oh yeah. Well, that's the person.
He's our. He's the one who's hosting the. He's going to be hosting the site with his internet connection.
Yeah, and he runs Vez2.com, which is a search engine, and that's the main reason he needs a fast line. We're going to do crawling the meta crawling of the search engines and the web. So that's another project we're working on. So there's a lot of things coming out. And Corey, anything new with GeekSpeak or whatever C-Holt, whatever it is now?
Well, of course, my Secure Evolution thingy, I'm not even going to do, like, a media group or anything. I'm just going to have my blog and have updates and stuff on the different projects I'm working on.
Are you bashing the
and
media
then
group?
Just, like,
is thingy a word?
Probably not, but on this podcast it will be a word.
Okay.
So maybe basically it's a southern I'm just going to have little mini HTML pages with, you know, each different project. Hacking, etc., my zine. Issue number 2, the fall 2005 issue, will be released shortly. Geek Speak, episode 1, will be released also shortly. And then, of course, hopefully we'll get Teen Tech Talk weekly podcasts.
Yeah, now, before we were doing each track at a time, recording each of our voices to get better quality, but that would sometimes there'd be gaps, like slowdowns, and then it would be a real pain in the ass to fix. So now we're just, I'm just recording the Skype, just live Skype, and so hopefully, like, I'll get this out by tonight. I'm running over to my friend's house right after this podcast. Like, I'll be over there for an hour, then I'll be back. I'll edit the podcast, and then it'll be out, and that should be it. So, got a lot of work to do. Is there anything else you guys got to say?
Visit my website, cholt.net.
And
that's
also
about it.
I forgot to mention the N-Class Media is at nerdclass.com. And with that, we'll end it. And thank you, and have a good night.